There's a sound of gunfire and screaming coming from outside his window, and the man slowly moves to the curtain to see what's going on. He peels it back just a little bit, and the kids are getting more and more worried. Dad, what's that sound? What's going on? And he makes his way to the front door and says, "Get back." He goes to the front door, and the kids start begging, "Dad, don't go. Don't go." But the dad opens the door. He steps out onto the porch, and the last thing he says as he shuts the door is, "Stay in the house." The door shuts, and the children don't see their father anymore. They run to the window, peel back the curtain, and they look as their father falls down dead. It's a great story, don't you think? Through their crying, through their tears, they're haunted by the question that they're not really sure, why did he go out there in the first place? Why did he say stay in the house, but he didn't follow his own advice? Why would a man tell his children to stay in the house? Well, because there's safety in the house. There's protection, security in the house. Because there's danger outside the house. In the Bible, there was a strict command given by someone to stay in the house. It's found in Joshua chapter 2. If you would go ahead and turn there, that's where most of our day is going to be, or most of our morning, rather, is going to be spent. Not going to spend all day in it. The Israelites, almost 3 million of them, are camped next to the Jordan River. And across the Jordan stands the city of Jericho, surrounded by two protective walls. There's an outer wall and there's an inner wall. They're about 10 feet apart, surrounding the city. From the top of Jericho's walls, you can see the Israelite camp. You can see their tents. You can see their campfires. And you can see more people than you have ever seen at one time in your entire life sitting there. And you know that they're coming to attack you. Scared, worried, that's how you are. And then some people show up at your door, and they're Israelites. The people that are coming to attack you have just sent spies, and now they're at your door. Now, they're in your house now. What do you think? You're scared for your life, and you don't dare turn them in because you don't want to upset their God. Because their God has destroyed Egypt. Their God dried up the Red Sea for them to cross. Their God destroyed the Amorites on the other side of the Jordan River. And you know that little Jericho is not going to stand in front of them and their God. So you don't want to upset their God, so you don't dare turn them in. You quickly hide them on your roof. And whenever the soldiers come asking, "Hey, have you seen them? Where did they go?" You send them on a wild goose chase. Because you don't want to anger that powerful God, Jehovah, the Israelites. And then you send out the spies another direction. You send them out safely, and you beg them, "Spare me and spare my family." And as they leave, they say, "Okay, but stay in the house." Why stay in the house? Because there's safety in the house. There's security in the house. There's protection in the house. And if you go out of that house, danger awaits. Well, if you want to be safe, first you got to get in the house. For Rahab and her family to be safe, they had to get in the house. Joshua chapter 2 and verse 18. The spies tell her, "Behold, when we come into the land, thou shalt bind this line of scarlet thread in the window which thou didst let us down by, and thou shalt bring thy father and thy mother and thy brethren and all thy father's household home unto thee." Literally, in Hebrew, that says, bring them into the house. They got to get in the house. If you want to be safe, you have to get in the house. The only way that anyone in the city of Jericho was going to be saved is if they were in that house. So Rahab and her family, or Rahab found her family rather, she brought them into the house with her because she wanted to be saved and she wanted her family to be saved as well. If they refused to come into the house, they were refusing salvation. If they refused to come into the house, then they were bringing death upon themselves. For anyone today to be saved, first they've got to get into the house. You may say, "Okay, get into the house." What house? Well, let me read a verse to you. 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15. Paul says, "But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou ought to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth." What does Paul, the inspired apostle, say is the house? It's the church. If you want to be saved, first you got to get in the house. You got to get in the church. The house of God is his church. All saved people are in the church. Acts chapter 2 and verse 47. "The Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved," or such as should be saved, King James says. There are no saved people outside of the church, because every saved person is added to the church. Every saved person saved by God when they become a Christian is put into the house. In order to be saved, you got to get into the house. Christ's blood is required for salvation, and it only covers those who are in the house. Only covers those who are in the church. Acts 20 and verse 28, Paul tells the elders from Ephesus, "Feed the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood." He didn't purchase anybody else. Only those people who are in the house are covered by Christ's blood. You're surrounded by enemies who are ready to destroy you. The command, the only way to be safe, is to get in the house. Salvation is found only in the church, because it is the house of God. It is the body of Christ. There is no salvation outside of the church, because all saved people are in the church. To reject the church is to reject salvation. To reject the church is to bring destruction on yourself. If you're not yet in the house, get in it. And there's no better time than today to do that. You don't have to wait till the sermon's over. You can come up here now. We'll take care of that. And then we'll get back to the rest of the sermon. But if you're already in the house, why aren't you trying to get other people in with you? Rahab thought it was so important. She said, "I want to save me. I want to save my father, my mother, and my brethren. I want to save my family." There's a lot of people in the church who are in the house. You know, a lot of people in the house today, but they don't seem to care about saving other people. They've got this idea of, well, I'm saved. Who cares what happens to them? You know, people have that mentality, right? It's like King Hezekiah. He was told that his descendants were going to be taken captive, that some of them were going to be made eunuchs. Some of his own family were going to be made eunuchs. A lot of them were going to be killed. And Hezekiah's response is, "That's fine, as long as it doesn't happen to me. At least it's not going to happen during my days." There's a lot of people in the church with that same attitude. Do you want people to be destroyed? Because if you don't get them into the house, they're going to be destroyed. If you want to be safe, you got to get in the house, but you also have to stay in the house. For Rahab and her family to be safe, they had to stay in the house. Joshua chapter 2 and verse 19. He says, "It shall be that whosoever shall go out of the doors of your house into the street, his blood shall be upon his head, and we will be guiltless. And whoever will be with thee in the house, his blood will be on our head, if any hand be upon him." He's basically saying they're safe if they stay in the house, but as soon as they leave the house, they're dead. And it's their own fault. I mean, Rahab and her family, they get all their belongings. They gather together. They huddle together inside that house, awaiting salvation. They look out the window. They're scared for their people, because if you look out the window as they're marching around the city of Jerusalem, or not Jerusalem, Jericho, they march around the city of Jericho one time a day for 6 days. Now, I don't know if you've ever thought about this, but 600,000 soldiers, which is what the book of Numbers said they had, actually a little bit more than that, if you put them front to back, shoulder to shoulder, you have got like 2 miles of Israelites all around the city. Nothing but Israelites for 2 miles in all directions. That's a lot of people. And they just march around the city silently. They don't say a word. That's got to be incredibly disconcerting. And they do that for 6 days. And then on the 7th day, they march around 7 times. And you know what happens, and we'll get to that momentarily. But it's eerie. They walk around silent. I mean, you just know something's about to happen. The people in Jericho have got to be just freaking out at this point. But through it all, Rahab and her family stay in the house because they know that they are only safe if they stay in the house. For anyone today to be saved, they have to stay in the house, right? If you get nothing else, just realize stay in the house. Going outside the house is bad. Almost every letter in the New Testament contains warnings about people losing their salvation, about people leaving the house, basically. But I don't think it's stated any clearer than in the book of Revelation, surprisingly enough. Jesus walks among the golden candlesticks in chapter 1, and it specifically says those seven golden candlesticks, they represent the seven churches, or the church as a whole, all the congregations. In Revelation 2 and verse 5, we find out that a church that ceases following what Christ wants them to be, they are no longer part of the church. They have removed themselves from the house. They have left the house. They will have their candlestick removed, it says. In fact, Jesus describes the process of people being removed from the church. He says, I will vomit you out of my mouth, or spew you out of my mouth. Spew them out of his body. Vomiting them out of the church. Revelation 3, verse 16. Those people who had returned to the law of Moses had willingly left the house. They had willingly left the church and therefore had fallen from grace. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 4. When you leave the church, you leave the protection of the blood of Jesus Christ. And you bring it on yourself. You bring destruction on yourself. Back in Joshua, the spies said, if anyone leaves your house, their blood is on their own head. They're dead, basically, and it's their own fault. If anyone today leaves the church, whose fault is it when they don't make it to heaven? It's their own fault. Now, you're surrounded by an enemy that's ready to destroy you. You're in the one safe place. The one place where no one can harm you. And then you open the door and walk out. Right into the hands of the enemy. It's stupid. It's like being in a storm cellar in the middle of a tornado. And as soon as the tornado gets above you, you decide, okay, I'm going to open the door and go out. That's just about as smart as it is for someone to leave the protection of the church and just welcome destruction on themselves. Instead, you should stay gathered with your family, the church, your brothers and sisters in Christ. Stay safe in the house. Now, on the seventh day of the siege of Jericho, the hundreds of thousands of Israelite soldiers marching around the city seven times, and the people in Jericho knew something was coming because it had only been one time every day up to that point. They marched around a second time. And people in Jericho were really getting worried. Then a third time, then a fourth time, then a fifth, then a sixth, then a seventh. And they're looking through the windows and they see these silent soldiers out there being led by God himself. Then without warning, trumpets blast and 600,000 people start screaming all at once. The ground shakes and the walls of the city fall to the ground. And through the dust, they see screaming soldiers running straight into the city with their swords swinging. Blood splatters and it pools on the ground and person after person falls lifeless. Then comes the fire, destroying the city and everything in it. But one section of that wall didn't fall. One section of that wall still stood with a house sitting on top of it. Inside that house was a woman who wanted to be saved and her family. Inside that house was a group of people who trusted in God's promise. Now, what made that one house different than all the others? Because that Rahab's house wasn't the only house out there. It wasn't the only house on the walls of Jericho. There were plenty of other people huddled in other houses. But what made this house different? Well, it had a window that had a scarlet cord hanging out of it. That cord is what marked the house for salvation. That scarlet cord saved the spies, and now it saved Rahab and her family. It says in verse 15 of Joshua 2, she let them down by a cord through the window, for her house was upon the town wall, and she dwelt in the wall. And then in verse 18, which we read earlier, it says, behold, when we come into the land, thou shalt bind this line of scarlet thread in the window that you let us down by. It was that scarlet cord that mark that house for salvation. Joshua chapter 6 in verse 25. I want you to notice just one thing here. It says, "And Joshua saved Rahab the harlot alive and her father's household and all that she had. And she dwells in Israel even unto this day because she hid the messengers which Joshua sent to spy out Jericho." Who did it say saved her? Joshua. Now on the final day, destruction will come upon this entire world. The trumpet will sound and Jesus will shout, 1 Thessalonians 4:16, and no one will be able to stand in the face of his fierce destruction. And then comes the fire, just like in Jericho. Only this time it's eternal fire, Mark 9, verses 43 through 48. But one house is spared out of all of that. Inside that house are people who wanted to be saved when destruction came. But what makes that one house different? After all, there's plenty of houses. There's plenty of churches in the world. What makes this one church different? This church is different because of the scarlet of Jesus' blood that marks them for salvation. It's that blood which sets this church apart. It's that blood which makes this church stand out. A man named Joshua will save the church in the last day. Now, in Hebrew, it's Joshua. In Greek, it's Jesus. It's the same name. Jesus said he will build his church. Matthew 16 and verse 18. There is only one church that Jesus recognizes. It's his church, the one that he built. It's the only one that God adds people to. Acts 2 and verse 47. Christ only built one church. Men have built many churches. Christ only built one. Only Christ's church, the one protected by his blood, will be saved. Now I want you to notice the comparison. Rahab and her family were saved from the destruction of Jericho because they got in the house. They were marked by the scarlet, saved by a man named Joshua. Today, we can be saved if we get in the house, God's house, the church. If we are protected by the scarlet, that is the blood of Jesus Christ, that we will be saved by a man named Joshua, also known as Jesus. The question now is, though, how do you get into the house? How do you get into that place where you will be saved from destruction? How do you get covered by the blood of Jesus? Well, the Bible tells us if you want to get into that house, you have to do certain things. You have to listen to the gospel message. You have to hear about Jesus Christ. Acts chapter 2 and verse 21. He says, "Men of Israel, hear these words." And then he starts talking about Jesus, his death, his burial, and his resurrection. You have to hear about Jesus. You have to believe that message. Believe in Jesus as the Christ. You have to repent of your sins. Acts chapter 2 and verse 38 says, "Repent, every one of you, for the remission of sins." You have to repent of your sins. You have to make sure you confess Jesus before others. That good confession, Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10, which is unto salvation. And then you're baptized in order to have your sins forgiven. Acts 2:38. Look at Acts 2:41. Says, "They that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added about 3,000 souls. What were they added to? Verse 47. The Lord added them to the church. Those ones who were being saved, those who were being baptized, were being added to the church. They got in the house where they could be saved. Once you get into the house, you have to stay in the house. You can't leave. If you do leave, you better hurry up and get back in. You stay in the house by living faithfully. You stay in the house by staying true to God, repenting when you realize you've sinned. If there's anything we can do for you today, if you're not in the house, there's no better time than now to get in it, because we don't know when that destruction will come. If there's anything we can do to help you, please come as we stand and sing. I am rejoicing.